races. Time for a transformation. Time to reset. Need a new start. You were born to be amazing.
My name is Deborah DeLynn Wilson, and I am your host of Tears Podcast. Time erases all rough situations. Today, we will be chatting with Mrs. Honey Kelly of Sister Chat. So sit tight and relax and listen in to our conversation of Sister Chat with Honey Kelly.
Hi, sister.
Hello. How are you doing? Is this a good time? Did you make it home?
Yeah. You know, I said, lately the warfare for me has changed because I normally, you know, a little warfare here and there. Mm-hmm. But now it's become more personal. What is this? Because the devil coming after my character now.
Okay.
I said, but you know, the blessing for me was that I could pray for her.
Amen. You know? Amen.
And because it wasn't personal, because I knew it was spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But if it had some truth in it, then I could have been offended.
Oh, there you go.
Because it had no truth in it, I could go to God and ask him to have mercy. You know?
I love that. If it had some truth in it, then I could have been offended. But since there's no truth in it, I didn't get offended. I prayed for her.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it, sis. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what? When my daughter came to me and said, Mom, after speaking with Honey, I felt so much love. And I'm so glad that today that you have taken time out to speak with us here on the Tears Podcast. I don't know why, but it kind of took me back. Remember that song back in the day that our parents used to always sing or we heard? It says, if anyone should ever ask about my life story. And he, remember that? He says, Jesus is the best thing that has ever happened to me. I don't know why, but when I was thinking about you coming on and speaking to the Tears Podcast audience, I kept thinking about that song.
Wow. That is so amazing because yesterday I wanted to hear something, and the song that the Lord had me to pull up was Falling in Love with Jesus. Was the best thing that I've ever done.
Wow.
You know? And so, yeah. I wouldn't be alive, Deborah, if it wasn't for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know? The path that I was on was destruction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they say the wages of sin are death.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I was going. I was headed down the path of death, you know, and it was because I honestly did not know no better, you know. I did not know no better. I had a beautiful mom, beautiful dad, you know, grew up in a beautiful home, but it was religion and it wasn't relationship,
you know. Wait a minute, you can't pass by that. You said it was religion and not relationship.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
So, you know, I was told as a little girl, I had to go to church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I went to church every Sunday and, you know, I was part of a Gil girl and I was in Sunday school and BYF, Baptist Youth Fellowship. And, you know, I did all these things, but I didn't know who Jesus was. I just heard of him. I didn't have a relationship with him. I didn't talk to him. I didn't spend time with him. I didn't commune with him, you know. So I just had religion, and it wasn't relationship. So I made up in my mind when I was 18, I was leaving. I wasn't going back to church.
Okay.
I was done because there was nothing there for me. I didn't get anything out of it. I was just something to do. I knew I couldn't go outside and play if I didn't go to church on Sunday. I knew I couldn't go to the party if I didn't go to church on Sunday. So it was do's and don'ts. But again, it was a relationship. So, and I was told, you know, just be a good girl, you know. And I said, okay, well, as God would have it, Deborah, at 18, I moved out of my house.
Okay.
And I met a roommate, and she was saved. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I moved in with her, complete stranger.
Okay.
Complete stranger. I met her at a bank, and I moved in with her, and she was saved. She loved the Lord, and she was Holy Ghost filled and had a relationship with the Lord. I would see her praying. I would see her going to service, you know, and so sometimes she would invite me, and I would say, okay, as soon as I would get in her car, and she put on spiritual music or gospel music or worship music, I would start crying. I said, you got to turn that off. That's depressing me. Well, I didn't know that was God picking at my heart.
Wow. Look at God.
You know, softening me. And so, as time went on, I left from living with her. Well, back up. Mm-hmm. When I was living with her, my family came and they were like, who's your roommate? I said, oh, you know, I gave her name. And I said, she's saved. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, she's saved from. I said, I don't know. I said, but she said. You know, so we didn't even know about salvation at the time. Mm. We were being taught that we had to get saved.
Mm.
You know.
But you were in the church.
In the church.
With all of the activities.
Okay. And it wasn't until I had different experiences at different churches, because I would go to visit different churches and I would see different things, but I always believed, but I didn't have it, you know. And so when I got 18, I said I was leaving the church, and I didn't go back to church until my late 20s. I think it was probably when I was pregnant with my daughter. My husband now had asked me to marry him. And so I'm thinking, you know, his family goes to church. I guess I should join their church since we're all going to be a family. You know, you can't think of those things. But that was what God put in my heart as I came to know God. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm thinking it's a good idea, but it was a God's idea.
You know? For my audience, so, how long have you been married?
I've been married going on 29 years.
29 years. Wow.
It'll be 29 years in May.
Okay. And how long have you just been together? How long have you known him?
We've been together. My daughter will be 33 tomorrow, and so
happy birthday to your daughter.
He says 35 36. I don't count it until we actually got together, so I give him 35 years. We've been together 35.
Okay, because one thing I like, I'm hearing about you, you are a relationship person.
So yes.
that is, so you're counting relationship. So now going back to your relationship with Jesus, and I love how you have really defined for the audience, you're letting us know it's a difference between relationship and religion. Thank you for sharing that. You are clearing that up for us. Thank you. Okay.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. So, if you're not taught something, then you don't know about it. You know, you don't know how to do it. You don't know how to even pursue it if you're not taught it. Mm-hmm. And so, I wasn't taught to be in a relationship with the Lord until I went somewhere one night. Like the old folks say, I went to a meeting one night.
Okay.
And just wasn't some things right. And the Lord saved me then. Mm. And, you know, I've had great deliverances, you know, great healings, great transformations, you know, I'm actually having one now because it really is a love affair with the Lord. It really is a relationship because that relationship gets renewed, you know, And in any relationship, if you don't do the work to keep the relationship up, mm-hmm. it'll get stale and complacent mm-hmm. and content.
So true.
You know, and that's what I found with the Lord. So when I would find myself in these low places or in that place of contentment, I would say God would waken me. He would shake me and he would say, no, he said, I'm requiring more of you. You know, you can't stay right here. Mm. And it would put me on another seek. It would make my heart pant. You know, I would be like the deer panting for God. I would go on a seek for him. And he told me one day, he said, I've been too good and my mercy and grace has been extended to you too much for you to be so complacent with me. So I knew then that my relationship had to be cultivated, and it had to be start working on it. It had to start, you know, they say if you seek God, you know, you'll find it. Mm-hmm. So I had to go after a seek. I had to start looking for him all over again. And that's when I really realized this is really a love affair. It's really a relationship. You know, and I've heard people say God will hide himself from you and because he wants you to come find him. And then when you find him, you find him in a new place.
Oh, I love
you find
that.
Under different circumstances. Mm. You know, sometimes you can find God when you first get saved, you find him. You know, and if everything is wonderful, then you find God. If you go through a tragic loss or, you know, your relationship ends, you find God there in another place because that's a different stage. So there's different stages and different relationships with the Lord. And I'm grateful that I was content, but God said that place was too low, so I had to come up to another place. And so, you know, I started panting after him again. And, you know, God gives us instructions, and just like our parents give us instructions, you know, your mother may tell you, clean that room. You know, we'll go and make the bed up and fix the pillows. And she'll come back, this room ain't clean. Mm-hmm. I said, clean the room. And that means change the linen, vacuum the floor, dust the furniture. I want this room clean. God wants the same thing. Mm. He says, clean up some stuff. He don't want you to half clean it up. He wants you to get rid of all that old stuff that's hindering you. Mm. All that old stuff that is holding you hostage. All that old stuff that is keeping you bound.
Come
he wants
on
to
now.
Get rid of it. And so then once you get rid of it and you obey and you follow the instructions, then you find yourself in another place.
Wow. And that's our transformation. When we're that's going through these different stages, make sure I have it right. You said that you're receiving instructions from God. And as you receive the instructions, in those instructions, you find transformation taking place. But not only is it instruction and transformation, but it's different levels and stages that God is taking your life through. And I believe that once you survive something, you develop abilities.
I was a young lady with low self-esteem. You know, I was told for years how unattractive I was. And I believed it. I believed that I was unattractive. And I remember being 13 years old, sitting on my bed, and I said, I'm going to take a piece of this lady that I like and admire, and I'm going to take a piece of this other lady that I like and admire, and I'm going to make me. I'm going to become me. Mm. Well, I didn't realize I was taking on other spirits.
Wow.
And other attributes of people that didn't know God. So it wasn't a godly character that I was taking on. Mm-hmm. So as time went on, I worked hard at becoming this person that I was making because, again, I didn't know. I had an identity crisis. I didn't know who I was. Mm-hmm. And so as that character got to developing and growing, I developed with it, you know, and I had these ungodly ways. I had these ungodly attributes. And the spirit that was birthed was called seduction. Mm. The spirit that was birthed was called harlotry. Mm. And I didn't know that was the spirit I had took on and had become, because that wasn't something that was being taught. You know, they called it back in the day when you weren't saved, they called it sexy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right. So I was working at just being sexy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not knowing that when you take on spirits, those spirits grow and they can become chiefs. You know, and then they start birthing out other people like them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so as I went through developing in that character, I also took on the spirit of drugs. I took on the spirit of alcoholism. I took on all these spirits, and not glorifying none of them, because the devil is defeated today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just telling my story.
Amen.
It's heart-wrenching to me, because when I found out what I possessed,
mm-hmm.
I was embarrassed, because I asked God, well, how did I get it? How did it become? Where did it come from?
Mm.
And he brought it back to my remembrance, just that story I told you.
Wow.
The day I sat on my bed, the day I invited that spirit in. That's how you do, that's how witchcraft, that's how other spirits come in. You invite them in. You may not be known, it may be not known to you what you're doing, but that's why you have to be careful what you allow to come into your spirit.
Wow.
And so as I gave my life to the Lord and he started revealing to me the different spirits that were housing,
mm-hmm.
then I asked him, well, how do I get rid of them?
Mm.
And he said, you confess them. You tell me that you don't want this no more.
Mm.
You know, and you repent from it, and you don't do them anymore. And so, again, it's been a journey, you know, but once my eyes became enlightened, and once I could hear what needed to take place, then that's when I started seeking God, and the transformation took place.
Wow. Your relationship with God that you were developing, you went straight to Jesus and you said, help me. And he gave you the answer and he told you what to do. You conquered that enemy. But one thing that we do know is that what you conquer, you can now teach.
Absolutely.
And this is
absolutely
what you do with Sister Chat.
Yes. So I tell my different little nuggets that the Lord gave me. I just put them in a story form. That's how he tells me to, you know, when I come out of them and he shows me how to come out of them, then I just share it, you know, because again, I talked about love, you know, me loving myself,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I didn't have identity. I didn't know who I was. I wasn't, you know, told, oh, you're a pretty girl, oh, you're smart, or you can do this, you can do that. My parents loved me, but back in the day, parents just weren't real affectionate.
Mm-hmm.
People are a lot more affectionate now than they were back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to realize your parents are who they are because of who they were raised
mm-hmm.
by. So, you know, my grandparents, they were coming out of life, you know, situations and trying to raise a family in a world that was evolving and changing. So that was the 60s, and my mother is in the 50s. And so things are different back in those days.
Mm-hmm.
So just the hugging and the kissing and, oh, I love you so, and, oh, yes, you can. That wasn't something that was going on. It was oh, we got to survive. Let's keep working, put money in the bank, food on the table, you know, and I'll show you how much I love you because I'm providing for you.
Deliverance have brought you to the place where you are now. So now you can have Sister Chat, and now you can help others. You have conquered. You can teach now. I believe that who we are, we attract people of who we are. So there's some young people looking at you and they're thinking, wow, she's so beautiful. I love her mess. I love to hear what she's saying. Just like my daughter. She said, Mom, I feel so much love. It's the
Amen.
Person who you have grown to be, because if she probably hasn't met you 20 or 30 years back when the story
right.
that you're telling, she may not have felt
right.
that love, but it's
exactly.
that person, that relationship, your relationship, Miss Honey, it comes through. Your relationship with God, it definitely comes through, because
Amen.
My daughter experienced.
Amen. And you know, I always wanted to encourage young men, young women. I have godsons. My husband was a baseball coach. And so, you know, we had baseball teams over to the house and our daughter was a cheerleader. So, you know, we always had kids around. But I always wanted to encourage and love on them and tell them how beautiful they were, how smart they were, how they could do anything, how I believe in them, you know, because I know what I lacked and I know what road it took me down. So the Lord has put in me, because I denounced the I, because it is not I, but it is Christ who lives in me. I practice what he's given me, and that is, you know, encouraging others, you know, a kind word, a kind gesture, because it takes a person a lot further, because the world, as we know it, it beats you up. It doesn't build you up,
right.
You know, and with social media, you know, everybody's in competition and they become these fake people instead of who they really should be. So it's in my heart to just encourage the young adults, the young children, that yes, you can. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Yes, you can. You're smart. You're pretty. Yes, somebody loves you. God does. You know, because a lot of people are not experienced love, you know, not the kind of love that nurtures you, not the kind of love that'll help you grow, not the kind of love that'll cultivate you, you know. And so there's a lot of hurting people out there. And so a kind word, a kind gesture, a smile, a hug will take a person a long way.
And that's definitely, I see that in you. I'm experiencing it with you. And I just want to tell you, thank you so much for sharing your story. But before you go, you have to share with us, 30 years married to one man. How do you do it?
God. It was nobody but the Lord, because my husband was, neither one of us was saved, and I got saved first. Mm-hmm. And so the Lord asked me one day, as I was going back and forth to church, he said, "Will you serve me when your unsaved husband won't?" And I said, "Yes." I said, "Yes, Lord." And so in that time, it was 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go to church and I would come home. But in that time that before I went to church and when I came home, I made sure my husband's needs were met. His dinner was cooked, his clothes was ironed, his house was clean. And I wasn't his pastor. I was his wife. I wasn't his evangelist. I was his wife. I wasn't his. Everything he knew was my wife. I didn't come home and preach. "Oh, you should have been at church. You missed that message." I didn't do that. I came home and was his wife. And then I would, when I had that private time, I would get on my knees and I would talk to the Lord. And it was in God's timing that God picked one day and he said, "I'm going to go to church with you."
Wow.
And that was 2009. And he's been going ever since. He is now a ordained minister and a deacon.
Wow. So if you're out there listening and you've been praying for your husband, don't give up. But what I do recommend, listen to what she said, sisters. She said she continued to cook. She made sure all his needs were met. His house was clean. And she continued to stay on her knees and pray. Not being his pastor, not being the evangelist or the Bible teacher, his wife. Awesome. I love it. Awesome. As a mother, share with us, how did you survive those years, 33 years of a motherhood? Share that with us.
Well, I, in all honesty, I literally followed the leading of the Holy Ghost. And I know people say, "Oh, she's just so deep." And it's really not that. Not saying I didn't make mistakes, not saying that situations didn't occur, but my daughter was born because the Lord told me that she was a little girl and that I needed to bring her forth. Again, I wasn't saved. So I heard him say to me, you're carrying a little girl, bring her forth. Mm-hmm. And so from that period, I knew she was somebody. Mm-hmm. So I had to keep going to God to find out how to raise her, how to treat her, how to give her what she needed. Mm-hmm. And the Lord used my daughter, because my daughter started going to church and got baptized before I did. And she would come home and she would say, "Mommy, can we pray? Mommy, oh, whatever sweet. The Lord will say." And so the Lord used her to draw me. And so I raised her in prayer. When things would happen, I would go to God in prayer, and then I would come to her and I'd say, "The Lord put on my heart for this and that." And she said, "Well, God said it, Mommy, it's okay." And so we cultivated that way. Now, because my husband wasn't saved, he was the head of the house still, mm-hmm. He had a say. So if he didn't agree with what was going on, I would go back to God on my knees and I would say, "God, it's in your hands how this will work out." And so things were challenging, things were great, but it was because God was in the middle of it that it still lasted today. My daughter is a beautiful young lady, a kind young lady. She has a personality that I adore, and I wish I had that personality. She's so loving. She's so bubbly. She's good at everybody.
Wow.
You know, and she's living her life and she's on her course. Mm-hmm. And I'm trusting and believing God to watch one day that she'll come into the fullness of what all God has in store for her. I had an opportunity to be a part of my husband's son's life. And so I had the chance to grow up raising a son too. And my son didn't come from my loins, mm-hmm. but I loved him like I birthed him. And that is where God began to teach me that love, is when my husband had a son and we brought him into our family and he was in our household. And so it was an awesome experience. You know, he has a mother and she's fine and well, but she allowed me to be a part of her son's life. And I'm grateful for it because I have a son and a daughter.
Amen. You know, if someone, going back to the James Cleveland song, if someone was to say, "What is your life story? What is it that you want your life story to be?" I know you're still on that journey of it, but right now, what is your life story, Miss Kelly?
Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me, and falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Those are my anthems. You know, I love songs that glorify the Lord, but falling in love with Jesus was the best thing that ever happened to me. It changed my whole life. I still cry because I'm so humbly grateful that the Lord saw fit for me to hear the call, because he says, "No man comes unto me unless I call him, and unless I draw them." And so I'm so grateful to the Lord for drawing me out of darkness, drawing me out of bondage, drawing me out of lasciviousness, drawing me and then giving me a life that I couldn't even fathom without him.
Beautiful. You know, people don't really know sometimes our stories. They look at us and they just see us face value. But understanding and listening to your story today, we got a little bit more insight of where that love comes from. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for sharing it. We love you and we love listening to you. Direction, it's time to get it. Mrs. On a Honey journey Kelly and of Sister Chat, here on the Tears Podcast. Time erases all rough situations. She talked about her transformation and how if it had some truth in it, I could have got offended. But since there was no truth, I prayed. The next time you find yourself in a situation where you can be offended, stop and think, is there any truth in this? If not, pray for that person. She also talked about the difference between relationship and religion. how you can actually be in the church and not even know God. Mrs. Honey Kelly, we feel the transformation and the love relationship that you have with God. Thank you for spending time here today with us on the Tears Podcast. I let the Holy Spirit take control. When I was down with nowhere to go, I have the power, feel it in my soul. And I am here, I gotta let you know. Tears, let's go.